earlier in the show, we spoke to one of the Green Party TDs who is opposed to the programme for government. That was Francis Noel Duffy, a TD in Dublin South West. This time around, we're going to speak to a TD who is in favour of ratifying the programme for government, Green Party TD for Dublin West, Roderick O'Gorman. Roderick, thanks for joining us this lunchtime. Why, to your mind, should party members vote in favour of this deal?
Well, I think the programme for government advances Green Party policies across a wide range of areas. And in some areas, particularly climate, the environment, transport and direct provision, the programme for government represents a really massive advance. And all these policy wins, they were fought for by the Green Party negotiators. They're only in this document because of the Green Party negotiators. And if we as a party decide against going into government, all of these advances will be lost. And I think Green Party members need to be very conscious of what will be lost if we don't take this opportunity. We'll lose the commitment to end direct provision. We'll lose the commitment to hold a referendum on the right to housing. We'll lose the massive investment in public transport. And we'll lose the commitment to the 7% average annual reduction target. So, it's my belief that our voters want us to go into government. I was out in Blanche Village yesterday doing Tidy Towns, and people were coming up to me and asking, how is this going? What do you think the party is going to go? And all of them were saying, Roderick, we gave you the vote. We gave you the number one vote. And it was with the view to the Green Party going into government and actually achieving the policies that you've been advocating for years. And, you know, throughout the entire general election campaign, we all said we'd work with any party. We took a decision at our convention last year not to rule out working with any party. Look, this isn't the present arrangement. Probably isn't my preference. It probably isn't the preference for anybody in the party. But after four and a half months after the general election, I think this proposed government is the only way to get our policies implemented. And the programme for government contains a very substantial number of Green Party policies.
Okay, and you mentioned a lot of the wins that you believe your party has secured, but I suppose one of the chief grievances of those within your party who are opposed to this programme for government is that the wins don't go far enough, that you do have a commitment to 7% in carbon cuts, but they're backloaded towards the second half of the decade where this government wouldn't be in place to oversee their introduction. There's exceptions for biogenic methane, and then in other areas, you know, there's no ban on co-living or any other developments like that. Could you have got more?
I don't think we could have got more. I think we worked incredibly hard, and I don't necessarily accept the characterizations that some opposed to this deal have put in. Let's be very clear, the Climate Action Bill, which we will pass in 100 days, will make provision for five-year carbon budgets, and we will set, the governments that we will be part of, will set the first and second five-year budget. So we will set the budgets all the way up to 2030. So irrespective of which parties are in government after the next general election, they will be bound by that carbon budget. That will set out the amounts of emissions that various sectors can make. And we'll be making that decision now. So even if we're not in the next government, we'll still be setting the carbon rates for them. And just on the point biogenic methane, Gavin, we are extremely happy with what we got into the programme as regards biogenic methane. We got a recognition that it is a climate and a significant climate change gas. And I think all the NGOs in the sector are very happy with the reference to biogenic methane. So again, I would reject some characterization that we retreated there. What we got in the agreement as regards that specific carbon pollutant was very significant.
You mentioned the five-year carbon budgets and some of the sectoral targets. You might have seen the open letter from some of your fellow Green candidates released yesterday. They're making the point that the heads of the Climate Action Amendment Bill, which were actually published by Fine Gael in January before any discussions and programme for government, contains a lot of what are being described as wins, that they contained the prospect of binding carbon budgets and sectoral targets and commitments on renewables and retrofitting and everything else. So that they, as far as they see it, there actually isn't a huge amount new here that Fine Gael weren't already internally committed to.
Well, look, you know yourself, Gavin, a heads of bill is a very scant document that has a couple of bullet points under each heading, and that's the extent of it. If we're in government, we will have the opportunity to flesh out the detail of these various heads of bill into the specific policies that can be advanced and the specific legislative mechanisms that can be advanced that will actually secure these emissions cuts. Because, you know, a heads of bill that a party published a couple of weeks before for a general election is one thing. A commitment to implement that heads of bill as real legislation within 100 days of a government being formed is something very different.
So is that to say that you wouldn't have trusted the outgoing government to bring forward all of this without having you people on their shoulder to make sure they do it?
Well, look, I think the only real wins on climate can be delivered by a Green Party in government.
What do you make of some of the concerns around the carbon tax and the fact that it's not going to be refunded in some sort of carbon dividend, as was your party's original policy, that it's albeit it's going to be hypothecated or ring-fenced or spent on other things, but isn't the whole point of a carbon tax that it's not actually supposed to raise money, that it's supposed to change behaviour, but that still, as it's being implemented now, there isn't going to be any relief for those who can't afford carbon taxes, that there's not very much there to make sure that people don't enter into fuel poverty if they can't afford
I wouldn't agree with that, Gavin. There's the commitment that 3 billion of the carbon of what's raised in the carbon tax over the next 10 years will be reinvested into social welfare, specifically targeting those who are in fuel poverty. That's an absolutely massive sum of money. And just to speak to your first point, under our original carbon tax proposals, everyone in the country would have got some money back. I'd have gotten the same amount back. You would have gotten the same amount of back as someone who was maybe on a low social welfare payment. Under what's proposed now, all the money coming from carbon tax will be ring fenced and will be dedicated to A, the social welfare payments that I spoke earlier about, B, a massive national retrofitting scheme, but starting with social houses, starting with our council houses, to make sure that they are retrofitted first, to make sure the people living there are protected against fuel poverty. And the third part of it is a new environmental scheme for small farmers, again, people who are at risk of low incomes. So I think the way in which the income coming in from the carbon tax is incredibly fair, incredibly socially progressive, and much more so than our original proposal.
But valuable and all as those programmes would be, again, isn't the point of a carbon tax to change people's behaviour, so that you're not actually supposed to rely on the income that it generates, because you want people to consider buying an electric car instead of, you know, spending more trying to top up their tank with petrol or diesel. So you shouldn't really be relying on the finances gained by this, because the point is that you're not actually supposed to gain any more money at all.
Well, look, I think we have to, there is money coming in for it. And I think if we're going to use it, we should be using it in ways that actually make it easier for people to cut their own emissions, while at the same time balancing any potential risk of fuel poverty. And I think that's what's done with this particular proposal, and I think it's done well.
Do you have any concerns with the idea of the Greens going into government alongside two parties who both lost seats and lost votes in the last general election? I mean, Eamon Ryan said in his closing speech at the convention on Thursday that neoliberalism was failed, and yet it seems like the Green Party is determined to go into government with the two parties who are trying to keep the flame alive.
Well, I think the programme for government, which is the basis on which we're going into government, is a strong centre-left programme, and that's the core of the reason why we're going in. The only reason we're going into government is to implement the policies like ones I spoke about earlier, like the investment in public transport, like ending direct provision, like a regularisation scheme for undocumented migrants. Those are all strong centre-left policies. As regards the party, as I said before, look, the choice of parties isn't ideal. It's not what I would have liked, but it is the only one that I see that's viable at the moment to get Green Party policies implemented. And at the end of the day, you know, 155,000 people gave the Green Party the number one vote, and they voted for us knowing we were open to working with all parties and knowing that we wanted to get our Green policies implemented, and knowing that we spoke of the urgency of action now, that we can't wait another 5 years, another 10 years. We have to make the significant carbon cuts that Ireland has to do, that Ireland has been failing to do over the last 10 years while the rest of Europe were doing it. We have to start making them now, and we are bringing forward the policies that will actually deliver them, but deliver them in a way that actually benefits all sectors of society.
There are those in the party who oppose this deal who say that the idea that's being put forward, that this is an either-or between accepting this programme for government or having another general election, is somewhat contrived. Do you agree?
I don't think the general election is the most likely alternative. I think the most likely alternative is if we reject this, we will see Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael cobble together a deal with 10 or 12 independents. I think we'll see our programme for government implemented, but with TIPEX all over it, where the Green Party proposals, the Green Party wins, are taken out of it, because there's no way they're going to implement many of the big things.
But
again,
Leo Varadkar had made clear, he's your constituency colleague in Dublin West, and he had made clear that he only wants a government if it can be stable. He doesn't think that Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil and independence together can produce a stable government. He would rather go again.
Well, look, I can't speak for Leo, and we've certainly never discussed this, but just if you're asking me what is the most likely outcome, I think it is a Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil independent government, though I would agree with Leo Varadkar, it probably won't last terribly long. I think the next most likely outcome is a general election.
Do you believe that the government that you're proposing to put forward is the delivery of the mandate for change? Or do you agree that the people voted for change?
Well, I think this programme for government represents significant change. I think the changes we're seeing in, first of all, I think it's representing a major stimulus of the economy, recognising what's happened with COVID, recognising the difficulties that businesses are in all across the country. The recovery fund is going to fund major investment in capital and current projects across the next 3 years. And that's very important for me, because I know some people in my party are arguing that this programme for government represents austerity. It does not. It represents the very opposite. It represents a massive stimulus to the economy, putting money into labour-intensive projects that will get people back to work, but will also deliver the key green wins, like building houses, like retrofitting existing houses, like investment in public transport and active transport. And there's a commitment for investment in the first 3 years on both the capital and the current expenditure.
Okay.
So I think this programme for government does represent a difference, a significant difference of approach. Even the degree of detail it goes into on various policy areas compared to the 2016 programme for government shows that this is a programme for government for change.
We know that if this government comes together, the Green Party will have the command of three senior ministries. We suspect that Eamon Ryan and Catherine Martin will be the first two, but there's suspicion that because you're among the longest serving members of the party, you've been quite literally wearing the green jersey in elections since 2004, that you would be third on the list. Would you be interested in entering government on that basis?
Well, look, I've been deep in negotiations on the programme for the last 5 weeks, and ever since the programme was agreed, I've just been speaking to members, engaging with them. I haven't given any call to the ministries. That's a call for Eamon to make. I think it'd be arrogant for anyone in the party to start, you know, measuring curtains at this point when we haven't even passed the deal. So, look, these decisions get made next week, if it's seen that the party has supported the programme for government.
I have to put it to you, that's not a no.
Well, look, I've always done what the party's asked of me, but right now I'm focusing on trying to persuade the members to approve this deal. I think it's going to be very close. I think it's going to be a very tight outcome. Every vote is going to count. And, you know, I've spent the last few days, as I say, on Zoom calls, ringing around, tweeting with members. That's my priority at the moment.
Okay, we will leave it there. Green Party TD for Dublin West, Roderick O'Gorman, thank you very much for joining us this lunchtime on The Record.